And we saw the past 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, the wiles of the devil. We understood what those were from Scripture, and then we looked at the whole armor of God and what that actually means for a Christian. And Paul finishes up his epistle in these next 2 weeks with more practical teachings. After telling us about the armor there in verses 10 to 18, he said in 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That's my title, "As I ought to speak." Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would use your word in our hearts. I pray we would grow through it. I pray we'd be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives, Lord. Maybe we need some changes. Maybe we need some conviction. Maybe we need some comfort. But we know that your word has the power to do all these things. And may we leave and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. May Jesus be magnified and lifted up. Give us your wisdom and guidance. We commit this time to you now in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul here is, again, talking about the practical Christian walk. And he points it back on himself. And he says there in verse 19, "that utterance may be given unto me." Many, many times in the epistles, Paul prayed or asked the people to pray for him that he would be able to speak more boldly. He would be able to preach the gospel to more people, see more churches planted. Because in the end, that's what it's all about. And it's not surprising that the book finishes this way. I mean, we're to stand against the wiles of the devil, but the Bible says we're also to be moving forward. You know, in Hebrews 12, it says we're to be at like we're in a long-distance race. Well, we're moving forward doing what? Well, the Bible says we're in a war with the devil over the souls of men and women, boys and girls. We're here to win people to Christ. We're here to tell them about Jesus Christ. God wants us to be effective Christians for that purpose, to make a difference in the lives of others. And so Paul here points to himself as an example and says, "Pray for me that I would have this utterance." And notice he says, "that I may open my mouth boldly." Now, in a few moments, we're going to look at four reasons why Christians don't witness like they should. And this is one. Because they aren't bold. How can that be? Look at Proverbs 28:1, if you would. Where does boldness come from? Because we're supposed to be bold. The Bible tells us, you know, that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So, why aren't Christians bold? Look at Proverbs 28:1. The Bible says, "the righteous are as bold as a lion." So, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Proverbs 28:1. Are all Christians bold as a lion? So what's the problem? I think we find the answer in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and some other passages in Acts. What we find is the righteous are as bold as a lion, but only when they're being led by God. The boldness is available, but it's up to us to yield to the Spirit of God to make it a reality. Now, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus was just about to ascend back to heaven. He had given the Great Commission. He had given his marching orders to the disciples. And just before he went back to heaven, he said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth." Ye shall. He didn't say you might. He said you shall. He's talking to this group of people. They were scared. They were hiding out. They weren't very bold. But on the day of Pentecost, something changed, didn't it? They got filled by the Holy Ghost. And after that, they literally turned the world upside down for Christ. They were accused of doing that very thing. What changed? The Holy Ghost. That's what changed. They were filled. Now go to Acts chapter 4, and I want to show you this connection between filling and boldness. Why are Christians not bold? Because they're not filled. It's simple. Does the Holy Ghost want people to get saved? Of course. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Right? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We read in 2 Peter 3:9. So if God wants everybody saved, the Holy Spirit is God. So if we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, what's He going to do? He's going to give us boldness and power to witness. Look at Acts 4 down in verse 13. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." So the unsaved were marveling at the boldness of Peter and John. Now let's look on down in the chapter, verse 29. "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Now, this is right after they were beaten. They said, "Lord, we need more boldness." Isn't that something? They didn't say, "Oh, Lord, we just got beat up for preaching the gospel, so can you make it so we don't get beat up anymore?" No, they said, "Can you give us more boldness?" Now look at verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with," there it is, boldness. They didn't speak in tongues, like some people teach. If you get filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to speak in tongues. No, they had boldness, and they actually asked for it. But where did it come from? It came from being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul said, "I want to open my mouth boldly." He wanted to say in that next verse, I want to speak boldly. We should be praying the same thing. The boldness is available. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The power is available. Ye shall receive power. It falls on us to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Because when they were filled, and this was just one example in Acts 4, but you look through it all through the book of Acts. When they got filled, what do? They preached the gospel. Because it wasn't them doing the preaching, it was God doing the preaching through them. Because God wants the gospel preached. So tonight we're going to talk about four reasons why Christians don't witness. That's number one, because they're not bold. But you can put in parentheses, not filled. Because those are the same thing. Why are Christians not bold? Because they're not filled. If they were filled, they would be bold. Because if they were filled, the Holy Ghost would be witnessing through them. So number one, they're not bold. And as Paul said, that's what I want you to pray, that I'll be more bold. And then he went on to say that as I ought to speak. In other words, I have a responsibility to preach the gospel. And I believe that's the second reason why Christians don't witness like they should, because they don't recognize the necessity or the responsibility that they have to do so. Paul said, as I ought to speak. He didn't say as I want to speak, but as I ought to. In other words, this is something I have to do. This is my responsibility, as I ought to speak. And he went on to say, if you go to 1 Corinthians 9, he uses the word necessity. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Turn over there if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. Look what he says. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me." Look at this last phrase. "Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And I think this is the second reason why Christians don't witness. They don't understand the necessity. It's necessary. It's not an option. It's something we have to do. It's a necessity, as Paul said. You know, he went on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:1-11, he said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." What does he mean by the terror of the Lord? because we're supposed to believe that hell is real. That's what he means. There's a necessity because people are going to perish in hell forever without Jesus. That's where the necessity comes from. That's why it's necessary that we preach the gospel. And that's what Paul was saying. As I ought to speak, I have to. Woe is unto me if I don't. He said that himself. We should be saying the same thing. Woe is unto me if I don't. We're here to preach the gospel to the lost. One reason Christians don't, because they're not bold. Because they're not filled. And number two, they don't recognize the necessity of preaching the gospel. One other passage, 2 Timothy 2. One other passage for this point. 2 Timothy 2:24, if you would. Notice what he says. 2 Timothy 2:24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." I have the word "must" circled in my Bible there in verse 24. It says, the servant of the Lord must. It doesn't say might. It's not a maybe, it's a must. We must not strive, but we must be gentle. We must be apt to teach. We must be patient. We must be meek. And we must instruct those that oppose themselves. In other words, preach the gospel. So Paul said, we need boldness. That's one reason why Christians don't witness, because they're not bold. They're not bold because they're not filled. And number two, he says, as I ought to speak, Christians don't recognize the necessity of preaching the gospel. And God's going to hold us accountable when we get to heaven. He definitely will not hold us accountable for our sins. Praise God for that. Those are paid for at Calvary. But He will hold us accountable for our works at the judgment seat of Christ. Did we work for Jesus? Did we understand the necessity and boldly preach the gospel to the lost? Now, as I searched the scriptures, I found two other reasons why Christians don't witness. They're kind of tied in with these first two, but they're worth looking at. Number three, because they're afraid. Now, I put that one down because in my years of ministry, I hear that one all the time. I know I'm supposed to witness, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid. They don't stop and think about what they're afraid of. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Remember we saw that one of the words for the wiles of the devil was snares? Just two passages ago in Ephesians 6. One of the snares of the devil is the fear of man. Because the fear of man bringeth a snare. What are we afraid of? Go to Jeremiah 1, if you would. Now, there was a prophet named Jeremiah. You've all heard of him. Guess what? When God called him to be a prophet, he was young, and he was afraid to be a prophet. He was afraid to do what God told him to do here in Jeremiah 1. Notice in verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Look at verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So before Jeremiah, he didn't even had opportunity to say, but wait, Lord, I'm scared. God said, be not afraid, because I'm going to be with you. And of all the prophets, Jeremiah was probably the least accepted when you read the story of Jeremiah. Nobody would listen to what he had to say. At one point, he ended up in a pit of muck. And somebody was kind enough to tie some rags together and drop him down and pull him back out of the muck, or he would have died. Very few people listened to what he had to say. Now, praise God, it was recorded for us in His Word, and we all get to read it. But God said, be not afraid. They're not going to listen, but be not afraid, because I am with you. And then go to 2 Timothy 1, the New Testament equivalent of this phrase. And that is the promise of God that Fear is not in the Christian's vocabulary. At least it shouldn't be. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's a small S, by the way. It's not a big S. It's like Holy Spirit. Doesn't the Bible say in 1 John 4 to try the spirits, whether they are of God? I wonder where the spirit of fear comes from, if it's not of God. Because it says God hath not given it to us, so where'd it come from? Well, we know. We just studied it in Ephesians 6. The devil gives us the spirit of fear. So, why do Christians not witness? They're not bold. They don't understand the necessity, and often they are afraid. But what are they afraid of, really? I mean, Jeremiah was afraid of dying. And there's still parts of the world where you could actually be killed for preaching the gospel. It's not true here. So what are they afraid of? Why are people afraid to witness? Well, we get a glimpse of that in John chapter 12. Let's turn there. Because in John chapter 12, we read about some Pharisees that got saved, some religious leaders of the day. John 12:42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." What were they afraid of? Persecution, being put out of the synagogue. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And in the end, really, that's what most Christians are afraid of. They're afraid of rejection. Not understanding that rejection isn't a rejection of you. Don't take it personally. If you witness to somebody and they reject what you have to say, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. You're just an ambassador. Jesus Christ is standing right there beside you when you witness. He's one giving you the boldness and the power to do it. And if they reject what you have to say, they're rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not rejecting you. Now, it might seem like it, but that's not what's happening. They're rejecting the message. And they're ultimately rejecting God, which is between them and God. It's not our responsibility. We can't win souls. All we can do is share the gospel. The Holy Spirit has to win souls. But to be afraid is a snare, as we just read in Proverbs 29. One of the snares that the devil uses to slow us down and make us ineffective. So, Christians aren't bold. Christians don't understand the necessity. Christians are afraid. And then one more I threw in here because I hear this all the time too, and that is Christians aren't ready. Or they feel like they're not ready. In other words, they don't know what to say. So let's look at some verses on that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Now, I tell new believers all the time, I say, "Do you know you're going to heaven?" "Yep." "Why?" "Because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." "Then you're ready." Now, you might need to memorize a couple of scriptures. You might need to be in church all the time, which you should. But you're ready because the Holy Spirit lives in you and He'll give you the words to say. Tell them what happened to you. Well, what if they ask a question I don't know the answer to? Well, that's always possible. It happens to me all the time. But that has nothing to do with it. That's an excuse. Because those questions very rarely have to do with why they're not getting saved. They're called distractions. The devil uses them all the time. But notice here in Romans 1:15, Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel." He says, "I'm ready." And then let's look at a verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. Notice what Peter says. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Look at this next phrase. "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. One of the reasons why Christians don't witness is because they feel like they're not ready or prepared or trained or able or whatever. Well, God says that excuse isn't going to hold up because He says, be ready. So if you feel like you're not ready, God says, get ready. Learn some scriptures. Memorize 6 or 7 passages that you need. Learn an outline. Be ready. It's just an excuse the devil is using to keep Christians from witnessing, but I hear it all the time. Well, I just don't feel like I'm ready. Then get ready. It's not really that complicated, is it? Get ready. The gospel's not complicated. If you know basically the 4 points of the gospel, you're ready. I mean, it would help if you could memorize some scriptures to go with each of the points, maybe some illustrations, but get ready. You just need to talk about sin and the consequences of sin and who Jesus is and that He died on the cross for their sins and offers them eternal life if they repent and trust Him as their Savior. There was the whole gospel. 100 words or less. Be ready. There is no excuse. So, Paul, he says, for I am an ambassador. You know what? So are we. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. When we witness, we are witnessing in Christ's stead, in His place. He is essentially witnessing through us. That's what an ambassador does. Speaks on behalf of someone else. That's what we are. Paul says, I'm an ambassador. And I want to speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul said, I recognize the need for boldness, in other words, filling, and that it's a necessity that I preach the gospel as I ought to do it. So we need to be filled. We need to understand the necessity. Can't be afraid. And be ready. That's all there is to it. Not that complicated. As I ought to speak. What a great phrase. We should adopt that for our own Christian lives. As I ought to speak. In other words, it's not an option. I ought to do it. So let's do it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word in this.